From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Goodeth. Shawa, Tuxknussum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, upcoming Juno Community Band 4th of July concerts, plus National Weather Service welcomes you to their open house, and updates with the Juno Public Library and the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support comes from Juno Compost, recycling the community's food scraps and yard debris into compost since 2017. Serving households, businesses, offices, and more with curbside collection and drop-off options. Online at junocompost.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher. The 4th of July holiday is just around the corner, and that means it's time for the annual Juno Community Band Sunday Before concert. This year, America the Beautiful, a patriotic concert celebrating the United States' 250th birthday. Of course, the bands will also appear for their evening concert before the fireworks on July 3rd, and I believe they'll also be in the parade. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. As per the usual. It's a busy time for the Juno Community Bands. All that and more as we visit with Sarah McNair Grove, president of the Juno Community Bands, and running just a little bit late, the conductor, TJ Hovest, will join us as soon as he arrives. Gunath Cheesh, welcome in. Wasiati, how are you today, Sarah?
Thank you for having us. We're wonderful, a little bit busy time of year for the band, but it's an exciting time for us also.
Yeah, so remind folks about the Juno Community Band. It's all volunteer, right?
It's all volunteer, and since we're doing our 4th of July activities, I'm going to give a shout out that the first year that the Juno Volunteer Marching Band appeared in the Juno parades was 1976.
Whoa.
So this is 50 years, and that's the thing that started all of the activities that we do today, was that parade 50 years ago.
For the bicentennial,
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So how did it start? Did somebody just have the idea they wanted to be in the parade?
Well, in 1975, there were three friends who were standing watching the parade, and they said, "It's too quiet. Where's the band?" So they talked to some of their musician friends, and 1976, they had a band in the parade.
Wow.
And we've been there every year since.
So does that mean that this year is your 50th anniversary?
That is correct.
That's amazing.
It is. It's kind of exciting for us. Yeah, so in addition to the 250th birthday of our country, it's 50 years for the band.
Now, is there anybody in the band that was in the band in 1976?
I have asked around, and to my knowledge, there is nobody currently playing in the band.
Okay.
And I don't know of anybody who's still in Juno, but we do have one person that joined the band in 1977, and that is John Haywood, and
oh,
he
wow.
still marches in every parade with us.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
That is so exciting for us.
So cheer for John this year when you see
yes.
him in the parade. That's pretty great. That's awesome. That's just really cool that you're celebrating 50 years on the 250th anniversary of the country, which is really cool. So obviously, with it being the 250th year, it made it really easy to sort of bring in some patriotism. Are you changing the core group of songs at all?
It was really kind of obvious. We said we really wanted to do something that would bring out patriotic music that is played by bands. And so that was sort of the central theme. And I will say, in addition, we had a youth solo competition for high school students a couple months ago, and the winner of that is also going to be a soloist at our Sunday concert. So we've got lots of things that we're celebrating.
That's so cool. Well, I have the flyer up for those who may be watching on the stream, but tell me, because there's a bunch of stuff going on, tell me first about what's coming up this Sunday.
Okay. This Sunday, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Thunder Mountain Middle School, we are having our America the Beautiful concert. And that's the one that's going to have our soloist Foster Rushton, who is clarinet player that won the youth solo competition. It's the first year we've done that. And we really wanted an inside concert to have a soloist, because it's a little bit hard to be a soloist outside.
Oh, I bet, yeah. Yeah. Especially your first, is this the first time,
maybe? The first time that we have done the competition, so he's our first winner, which is really exciting for us.
And it looks like he's going to play, I don't know how to say this, but solo de concours?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, André Messager?
Messager.
It's a French name. Okay, that's really cool. Is that the piece that he played for the competition?
That's the piece that he played for the competition, yes. It's a lovely piece. It's got lots of flashy little things, and he just does a really lovely job.
Oh, that's fantastic. Let's welcome into the studio now TJ Hovis. Welcome in.
Thank you.
Ganesh, for being here. So you are the conductor.
Correct.
Okay. And you're conducting the Sunday concert? Are you conducting all the things?
All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So I was just asking Sarah about sort of the 250th anniversary, bringing in some maybe some more patriotic material.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about finding that material, TJ? Which songs did pop into your head first?
Oh, well, on the third, we're going to play a piece by Aaron Copland entitled An Outdoor Overture, which I guess is not specifically American, but it was the very first thing I thought of with this theme. And then I just did a lot of research on, you know, sort of classic patriotic music and what's sort of in the more standard band repertoire. So we're playing some great arrangers and, you know, songs that people will know, but arranged in very cool ways for concert band, you know, style music.
And how many people in the band, Sarah, for Sunday, let's say?
I think we have about 45 players. And, you know, some people have asked me why Sunday afternoon, and because we really wanted this to be a family-friendly concert, we have our young soloists, so other high school, middle school band students, we'd really love to have them come and see what can happen, so that's why we pick Sunday afternoon.
And I'm assuming, as with most community band performances, there's no charge here?
Actually, our indoor one, we are going to charge because we have...
Oh, you got to pay rental
costs for and you can purchase those tickets online through our website. You can go to the Jack website and their ticketing system, or you can actually go to the Jack and you can buy them online in advance, and we will also have them for sale at the door.
So junocommunityband.com junocommunityband.org or jahc.org for tickets for
that's
Sunday.
Right.
Okay, that's cool. And I'm just curious, TJ, about the process of working with all the people in the community band here for this concert. Was it exciting for them to be learning these songs this time around?
I think, you know, every year I've come, I think they're pretty excited to work and learn new music. And, you know, we're going to have some standards, like we'll play the Stars and Stripes March that everyone wants to hear. But I think some of this music is new to all of us, and it's been a fun process so far, kind of putting it together.
That's cool. And you come from where again? I can't remember.
Well, I grew up here, okay. But I am currently living in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks,
I teach
that's
at a
right.
High school.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. And it's nice that Sarah brings you down and return home.
Yes, it's very fun coming back every summer.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of fun with him the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's Sunday, but then you have more. So on Thursday night at the Sealaska Plaza,
Friday night.
Oh, it's Friday.
I know, I keep getting forgets to the third, whatever day the third is.
Whatever day the third is, before the fireworks, basically.
Right.
You're going to be, we have Friday off. That's why I was like thinking Thursday, because but Friday's not 4th of July. Saturday is the 4th of July. So anyway, one of those kind of weird deals. But Friday night on the plaza, you will be doing a concert as well.
Right. It's going to be very similar music. We are not going to be doing the clarinet solo. So if you want to hear Foster, you have to come on Sunday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this will be people bring their lawn chairs or blankets and sit on the ground outside, be inspired by some lovely music and wait for the fireworks.
And do you do it underneath the sort
of... The band gets to sit under the shell. So if it rains, we don't get wet. The audience gets the rain. But if it's really pouring, we can probably scooch and...
Get everybody in,
because
you don't want to get the instruments all wet.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of fun. And is there any, you don't do any marching at that concert on Friday?
That's a sit-down totally.
That's a sit-down concert.
And
what time is that at?
That's at 7 o'clock.
Okay, perfect time.
Yeah.
Get some
nice
music
time.
In and get yourself some patriotic, get your body filled with the patriotic tunes before the fireworks blast off.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. And TJ, is there any difference between... playing this music, I know indoors is on Sunday, Friday night is outside. Is there any difference in that?
I think it's quite a bit different, actually. Even just when we only play outside, we rehearse inside and then we play outside, and it's always a big adjustment because you don't get any kind of feedback. Well, you get some, but not the kind of immediate feedback you get in an indoor venue where you hear the sound off of the wall.
Bouncing back.
You hear yourself. And in an outdoor venue, the sound really just kind of goes out in the ether, and you hope everything's working well, and you hope that we're balanced, and also, though, I mean, the weather can affect a lot. It can affect your pitch on your instrument, and if the wind blows your music, and, you know, how everything feels.
Right, so. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. So it goes from, goes over to Heritage, goes down to Shoe Fly. The sound just echoes down the canyon of the buildings there. That's kind of fun. But it's really cool. What a great thing. And then you'll also be, are you in both parades?
We are in both parades. So
you
will
that,
see us downtown in Juneau. And want to thank for students. They provide a the school bus so that we don't have to drive all our cars back and forth, and they take the band over to Douglas and then they bring people back. So we are in both parades.
Nice. That's excellent. And then if people are interested, I always like to ask you this because I know the Juneau Community Bands is a volunteer. If people are interested in joining the band, if they've just moved to town or if they know friends who've just moved here, what's the process of getting involved and how do they reach out to you?
The process is contacting us, and you can do that through JunoCommunityBand@gmail.com. And this 4th of July band is really the way to get involved because it is open to everybody without audition. We do ask that you have finished 7th grade so that you have some facility with your instrument because you need to know how to play, but it is open to everybody. So if there's somebody out there just moved to town or has been here a long time and wants to get involved, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, so know at least how to play. Like, I can't just grab a trumpet and join because I don't know anything. Yeah, it would be really bad. So they'd be like, what? Who's off? Who's off over here? Boston, get out of there. Get out of there. It's so fun. This is really cool. This is three times to see you in the next week.
That's right.
Or so. It's America the Beautiful. The Juneau Volunteer Marching Band Concert is Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School. Featuring soloist Foster Rushton, your first ever solo winner, which
that's
is going to
right.
be...
That's right, and he plays a clarinet, so that's very exciting.
That's going to be very cool, and it's celebrating 50 years of the Juneau Marching Band, which is just awesome. And then you can also go for the Independence Day celebration at 7 p.m. Friday, July 3rd at Sealaska Heritage Plaza. That is going to be some music. Bring a long chair or a blanket, as Sarah mentioned. There's no charge for that. If you want tickets for the Sunday concert, go to JunoCommunityBand.org or JHC.org. And then, of course, get out for the parade and see the marching band and cheer them on when they walk by. Sarah, TJ, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it. Good cheese for being here. Happy 4th.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juneau Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Every day, fishermen across the Bahamas head out to the ocean to harvest their catch. But now, some of those fishermen are also harvesting data to help forecast hurricanes. They're contributing to the global fishing vessel Ocean Observing Network, which provided them with sensors that measure water depth and temperature. The sensors attach to fishing gear and record data that's shared with Bahamian officials, the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and others.
We see it as a very cost-effective way of getting good real-time ocean data.
Jeffrey Simmons is the former acting director of the Bahamas Department of Meteorology. He says ocean heat is the main source of energy for hurricanes, so the data could help forecasters better understand when a hurricane is likely to intensify quickly. For example, this happened in 2019 when Hurricane Dorian hit the Bahamas as a Category 5 storm and killed dozens of people. And Simmons says the fishermen are eager to help.
When hurricanes are out there, it creates problems for them. They can't get to work. So they are excited to be a part of the community to assist us in getting information so that we can create better forecasts for them.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's been 10 years since the last one, so the National Weather Service Forecasting Office said, you know what, we got to invite everybody over. We got to have an open house. So that's what they're doing. It's this Saturday, June 27th at noon. And to talk about it more, I am joined now in the studio by Brooke Sullivan, Aaron Brunson, and Nicole Farron. Gwyneth Cheeshot, YAD, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in here. Wasiatia, how are you today, Brooke?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Of course. And hi, Nicole. Wasiatia, how are you?
Hi. Nice to see you again.
Yes. And Aaron, hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. So we're going to get to this open house thing. That's going to be fun to talk about. But first, I want to find out what you all do over here at the National Weather Service Forecasting Office. So let's start with you, Nicole, because I know you've been on the show before. And so tell me, what is it that you do there at the office?
Yeah, thanks. So I've been at this office for 15 years now, and I started as a general forecaster and kind of moved up through the ranks over the years. And now I'm one of the managers. I'm the warning coordination meteorologist, which is a fancy title to say that I work directly with all of our core partners across Southeast Alaska. So building those relationships with emergency managers in all of our small communities and making sure they know how to get the weather forecast they need or anything else for that.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's an important gig, right? I mean, that's a really important gig.
It's pretty neat. I get to travel and see this amazing place we live.
Yeah, for sure. And Aaron, what about you? What do you do out there?
Yeah, so I'm a general forecaster. I started more in an internship about 3 years ago, so I've been in Juneau fully for 2 years now. But we just focus on our big things are the marine forecast, our aviation forecast, making sure that people out there are aware of what our weather is going to be for on a day-to-day basis, and try to keep everyone safe.
That's nice. All right. And Brooke, how about you?
Right. So I have been with the Weather Service now for about 6 months, so I'm part of the newest group hire.
She's the baby.
Correct. So my focus in the last 6 months has been just learning the area, getting to know how to forecast for this area. And everyone knows the weather can be just kind of crazy sometimes. So I've been getting to know that too. And coming to events like this, doing outreach and just getting in touch with the community too has been part of my job.
You moved here in the middle of our winter season?
Yes.
And where did you move from?
From Wisconsin. Okay. So it was not exactly lost on me what snow can look like, but this record annual snowfall was a little much to just dive right
for
everyone. First into.
For all of us, yeah. I don't think any of us really enjoyed that.
We were also very tired.
Yeah, I bet. So I know it was. So was it somebody from your office who kept measuring the snow and like and posting on Facebook? Mm-hmm. There was somebody who was doing that and like letting everybody know whether we needed to clear our roofs or not.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
yeah, that was kind of a wild time. Wild time. So let me ask you this, Aaron. You started as an intern, so that must be kind of cool to go on that journey from intern to now having a gig and doing the whole thing. But I'm wondering what got you into wanting to be a forecaster in the first place. How does that become a thing for you?
Yeah, for me, I always knew I wanted to do something in the science field. I did actually in high school, like I job shadowed with like a dentist and I was like, yeah, medical, not for me. so I looked more into different things. And actually when I was touring the college I went to, our tour guide was a meteorology student. And so I looked into it more, got really interested and took the path there at Iowa State University to become a meteorologist, got involved with local weather services around there, and then was like, I'll reach out, branch out, and Juno was where I ended up.
The rest is history.
And the rest is history. And then, Brooke, you're new, so what made you think about wanting to come to Juno?
Yes, it seems like a weird switch to be just from the Midwest and then just decide to go to Alaska. But I really wanted to kind of face the challenge of moving to a new place and getting to know a climate that I was not familiar with.
Mm.
And as a meteorologist, all types of weather really interests me, and especially winter weather. And what better place than Alaska? And so I like the cold and I like the snow and I'm not complaining. It's just forecasting is so much fun and it can be exhausting, but it is so rewarding. And especially in a place like this where it's so different, where you have so many communities that really rely on the weather to do just day-to-day activities and they don't really have any other good sources of weather, just not like as much available data. So to be able to be here and be a part of that is rewarding, not just for learning about the weather, but then be able to help a community and be really close and in touch with that. And that's really what I was looking for getting into the weather service, is to have kind of those just two aspects of it.
And what got you into forecasting in the first place? How did you find, I'm just curious how it finds people, because I know there's science. So you're into science and then all of a sudden it veers towards this meteorology kind of thing.
Yes, I love science. And I've always just looked to the skies and wondered, why is that happening? And I just wanted an answer. And so it started with just a Google search, and I was a kid just trying to understand what the processes were. And really, just looking at it, it's not just a cut and dry science, because there's data and you do a lot of analysis, but it's also like almost, it's kind of just the science where you have, where you're not like guessing, but you're doing probabilistic. And so some things, you're predicting the future. And so it's a science where, I mean, you can be so on the nose with it, and then the atmosphere surprises you. And so it is just so unbelievable sometimes what will happen, and it's exciting. And
it's
like
every day.
It's different every day.
And it shifts, right? It can shift, especially in Southeast. Like, it feels like we say that about, I mean, even those of us who aren't meteorologists, we say it can change. We can have sun in the morning and then it's pouring down rain, or it's pouring rain and then all of a sudden we get this beautiful day out. Like, absolutely. It just changes within a couple hours, which is just amazing. Nicole, I'm curious, like, we say this word forecasting. Mm-hmm. And so what is involved in that? I know Brooke was just talking about there's some analysis and you're using tools, you're using, like, instruments that measure stuff. But what do you then do with that, all of that? How do you forecast?
So looking back at kind of history a bit more, some really smart mathematicians came up with calculus formulas way back when on how they studied the atmosphere, and came up with some formulas that actually worked to predict out in time using calculus to predict the weather, essentially. Mm. And so over time, that's evolved into longer time periods, and, you know, it works in essentially four dimensions, talking about with time. And that science and math has been put into computer models now, and they ingest all the current observations, plug those into those formulas, and then run the calculations and put it out into time. And, you know, some of our computer models run 120 hours or longer. Some of them are very poor resolution. Some of them are very high resolution. In our area, especially, the resolution matters a lot because of our complex terrain, which is a big part of why forecasting here is challenging. You know, we've got the mountain-ocean interface right next to each other, and most computer models can't figure that out. That's why your cell phone often says that it's going to be snowing in May, because the computer model that phone perhaps uses thinks that you're on a mountain. Because they just can't resolve that we're actually at sea level.
Yeah, I used to have one of those rain apps that's supposed to tell you when it rains, but it didn't ever really work for Juno, like not very accurately anyway.
Sure.
You have been, you've been there 15 years or so.
Right.
And how have you seen the technology change over the course of your career? You mentioned some of the computer models now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that changes stuff. But what's changed since you first started?
That's a great question. We've certainly had big changes in satellite data. Since my career started, we launched this GOSAR series of satellites that have way more channels. They can look at the atmosphere and do channel differences where they can tell what height the clouds are at and like how much moisture is in different layers. And it really helps us visualize what's happening. So here, satellites are bread and butter of knowing what's coming at us. It definitely helps with atmospheric rivers too, because it can see how much moisture is in the atmosphere. And so that gives us a good idea of what we've got heading towards us, especially because out over the open ocean, we don't have very many buoys. So we don't have surface observations or upper air observations out over the open ocean. But we have had more surface observations here in Southeast Alaska. And that's really in big part because of the Marine Exchange of Alaska. They've been adding observation points, especially over the last 5 years. And so that's been a game changer for us, knowing what's actually happening on the ground. So we can calibrate our forecast based on current conditions and say we knew that it was going to be, the winds were going to be increasing today, and we had, say, 15 knots, and we see marine exchange in a certain location is showing 20 knots. Like, oh, well, we already thought it was going to be increasing, so now we need to bump it up another 5 knots, even above and beyond what we already thought. And so that the number of observations has increased, and that's very helpful.
That's cool. And it sounds like there's a lot of math, Aaron. Sounds like there's a lot of math. Math gives me a headache. go ahead.
No, luckily for us, we don't have to do it on a daily basis. But to know the dynamics behind what's happening, you have to study that to understand really
I can't imagine.
Why the models work.
Yeah, why
so
the models work.
Trust them.
Yeah, because I can't imagine the old days with people like, you know, on paper and calculating and doing the calculus, and that would not work for me. but this is all such a cool thing, and the National Weather Service Forecasting Office is inviting you to come out and chat more with all of these meteorologists, find out more about what's going on out there. So tell me a little bit about this, the people behind your forecast, the open house. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. So we're inviting everyone to come out Saturday, June 27th, this Saturday, from 12 to 4 p.m. to our location in the back of the valley, 8500 Mendenhall Loop Road, just to learn more about us, see the facility, and we're going to have a few other local partners there as well. So come ask us any kind of questions. We will also have an opportunity to show you the building. So we will have tours of inside where you can see where we work every day, what kind of tools we use, what kind of instruments we work with, and also have a chance to talk with our local GLOF, Glacial Lake Outburst Flood specialists.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that's we just had Aaron and Jason on from the from UAS last week, talking a little bit about science and all that behind it a little bit, thinking about predictions for you know, when it might happen this year. And they're saying it might be a little bit earlier than that. They don't know yet. But everything's unknown, right? It changes every day. So it's kind of interesting. But and you all are a big part of that. Like you said, Nicole, you're working with the team, right, the community partners that the city works with, Tlingit and Haida, and you all out at NOAA and everything are working on that GLOF coverage and helping us keep safe, right?
Totally, yeah. And a lot of those same partners that we work with almost on a daily basis this time of year will be at the open house too. Some of the partners that will be there, and they're going to have their own tables and tents outside in the parking lot to share their preparedness and safety information. So they include the American Red Cross. They're really important during disaster recovery, Capital City Fire Rescue. NOAA Fisheries is going to be there from Auk Bay Lab sharing some mammal safety information.
Nice.
The Army Corps of Engineers, Silver Jackets team will be there with the rest of the GLOF science partners, like you mentioned that you had on the show. JPD, City and Borough of Juneau, the Marine Exchange of Alaska, they're going to be there too to share more information about all those observations they're helping us out with. And then one we're really excited about, a partner we work with every day, is the Coast Guard Station Juneau. They're bringing their 29-foot fast response boat. So the kids will be able to check that out and talk with the Coast Guard folks.
Yeah, so this is great for families to come and check it all out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be a lot of activities for kids and just kind of little bite-sized chunks of what meteorology has to offer.
Yeah.
And just, it's for everybody. If you have an interest in weather, it would be just so awesome for you to come out and check out what we do and how does it all come together. Talk to people if you have questions about weather that you just want to have a straight answer for. We can give you that. And so
hopefully.
Maybe it'll be a little bit more long-winded.
You'll be like, I got to go in the back and model it real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm really excited for what we have in store. We are also offering bingo for kids. And honestly, anyone can participate. So it just helps you come here and learn about what our partners have to offer and how we work with our partners. So just it's fun, and we will have prizes if you do your bingo and you get a bingo. And so it's just for everybody. You can participate and learn so much about what we do.
And you don't have to come right at noon. It's from 12 to 4, so very open-ended.
Come anytime in between noon and 4. And, Nicole, if I wanted to find out more or if I wanted to follow you all in terms of the National Weather Service, I know you have probably Instagram and all that stuff. Can you give me all that rundown of where we can reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Facebook, if you were to search just NWS Juneau or Facebook.com/NWSJuneau will get directly to our local page. We do have an X account with the same profile name and on Instagram. But anytime, weather.gov/Juneau is the local forecast page that we monitor and update with the latest forecast. So that's always a excellent resource for people.
And I think, because speaking of the GLOF earlier, I think with that coming up, there is a link on your main page too that has like your monitoring. You can watch the basin and see all that stuff.
Yeah. So that one's weather.gov/Juneau/suicide basin, but there are links directly on our homepage.
Awesome. That's so great. Well, get out to the open house. It's this Saturday, June 27th from noon to 4 out at 8500 Mendenhall Loop Road. The National Weather Service Forecast Office invites you out anytime between noon and 4. I really appreciate you all being here. Brooke Sullivan, Aaron Brunson, and Nicole Farron from the National Weather Service Forecasting Office. Pleasure to have you here. Gunnish cheese.
Gunnish cheese, Boston.
Thank you so much. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juneau at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Bird Note. Yellow-billed magpies are clever, colorful birds, and they're only found in Central California. Like their crow and jay cousins, these Golden State Corvids are full of character. Yellow-billed magpies are hefty birds with long tails and sharp beaks. Their bodies are boldly patterned in black, white, and iridescent blue. They're adventurous eaters that often forage on the ground in noisy groups. In California's oak-dominated woods and grasslands, you'll find them feasting on acorns, insects, grains, roadkill, dog food, anything they can get their bills on. Sadly, yellow-billed magpie populations have declined drastically in recent years. Scientists estimate that roughly half the population was lost to West Nile virus in the early 2000s. Today, they face threats from habitat loss and rodenticide poisoning. These California corvids have shown that they can adapt to live alongside people. Now, it's up to us to step up and protect the woodlands and savannas they need to thrive. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Bird Note is supported by Purgatory Auto Works and Dinosaur Farm, a small ranch in California transformed from a barren landscape to a vibrant oasis for wildlife, like the yellow-billed magpie. Learn more at purgatory.org.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and I am joined now by Elizabeth Peisel Davis from the Juno Public Libraries. You know, it's so funny because every time I say Juno Public Libraries, I think it's plural because there are more than one libraries here.
Yeah.
But then Jen told me, our previous contact, that actually there's a Juno Public Library somewhere else.
In Wisconsin.
And that's why, well, that's where our last guest was just from,
there
from Wisconsin. So that's why we have to say Juno Public Libraries,
yes.
Even though a lot of times it's just Juno Public Library.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of trivia for those out there.
There you go.
Yeah, pretty fun. Well, welcome in. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. It's really nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, so you have a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, it's happening at the library.
The summer is the place to be, and also you brought me this really beautiful gift. You gave me a little patch.
Yeah, because I know you read a book recently, right?
I did, of course.
So when you read books at the library and you turn in your game card,
you get gifts?
Prizes.
Oh,
you get
that's
seeds,
so cool.
You get embroidery patches,
yeah.
You can pick a book from our free book bin.
So this is like, this is nasturtium, and this is a little patch.
Yeah, you could sew that on your jeans.
Yeah. And then you also gave me calendars of all the different things going
on.
We're going to talk about these. But like we're in the middle. Let's start with this. We're in the middle of the summer reading program, right? Like
right.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, and you can still sign up. It's not too late.
It's not too late.
No.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about.
So you sign up.
Yeah.
And then when you read, you fill in your game card and you're reading books or even just reading parts of books. It's between you and your adult. How much is worth one little book token on your game card.
Mm.
And you do activities. And then when you fill in your game card, you bring it to the library and it goes in the big stack. And at the end of the summer, we draw for grand prize winners. So the more game cards you put in the big stack, the higher your chances are of winning.
And what kind of prizes am I getting?
Well, the grand prize for the kids, it's usually a collection of joyful things, all generally locally bought. And then for the adults, we're going to be doing some gift certificates to local businesses.
Right, local businesses or restaurants or something like that, yeah. And this goes through August 2nd.
Yes.
So not the whole summer.
It's not. We ended a little early, one, because school starts early.
When does school start
middle of August now.
Like what?
Early middle of August.
We never went till after Labor Day.
Well, it's because we're old. And then the other reason we stop a little early is because we want to make sure everybody has focus on the possible flooding out in the valley.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you need time for that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What does the library out in the valley do for that time period? Are you in the zone out there?
We are on the edges of the zone.
Edges of the zone. Yeah. Okay. So does the library, do you guys close down during that time?
We have, I think in the past, had to close down a little bit. But also we are kind of a center for information.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I was wondering you're not a shelter though, right?
No,
you
don't have a basement. We're not a shelter.
Yeah. Okay. No. That's kind of cool. So summer reading program is on tap. This is adults, children, anybody can register for this. You just got to go to juno.org/library/summer-reading.
Right. And if you just go to our webpage, it's just right there. It's a great big button.
There's a button right there that says Happy Summer and Happy Reading. That's kind of fun. Read those books. And any book counts, right?
Any book counts.
Okay.
Yeah, and listening to books counts.
Oh, audio, of course. Yeah, audiobooks.
Because reading looks lots of different ways.
And this is a good time to mention this, because at the library, you can get more than just books.
Absolutely. You can get audiobooks on CD.
Yeah.
You can do our digital resources and get audiobooks or reading books that way. You can get games.
Yeah.
You can get DVDs. You can get CDs.
Yeah, you can get movies, you can get all that stuff.
The things.
And you can get books that necessarily you don't have here, right? Like you can do interlibrary loan.
You can even just do a loan from the consortium. So we are part of the Alaska Library Consortium, 87 libraries in the whole state.
Oh, wow.
So if you look on our catalog and it says, there's not this book in Juneau, but they have it up in Bethel, you just say, hey, I'd like that book. You put it on hold. They mail it to us. We call you when it arrives. You come pick it up, all free of charge.
That's the best thing. The library is such an amazing place.
Yep.
It's so cool. And do you guys use any particular apps or recommend any apps that people might be interested in using? I know there's the Libby app.
Yep.
And
you can use your Juno Library card for the Libby app.
Yeah.
We also have Hoopla and Canopy. Those are the three most popular.
And Hoopla and Canopy. Hoopla is the one where you can rent digital
movies.
Media,
you
right?
Yep.
Yeah,
and
for
so
free.
Canopy. Yep. And really interesting movies, some that it's hard to find.
Right. Yeah. Things that you wouldn't necessarily go see at the Cineplex. We don't have a Cineplex, but...
If we did.
Okay, so let's talk about what else is going on. There's a bunch of other stuff.
Well,
there's things that have already happened.
Yeah.
But,
coming up right around the corner is the Bluey party.
Uh-oh, is that... No, that's the character, right? Bluey?
Yeah.
Remember we said the thing about being old? Yeah.
The Australians, the little Australian dogs. Kids love those guys. So we're having a big party.
At 1 p.m. at the Valley Library. So what is this going to be? What is the party?
There's going to be dancing. There's going to be arts and crafts. There's going to be Miss Lacey. And so, that's a whole thing. Our famous children's librarian, Miss Lacey.
Oh, nice.
So she'll read a book. It's going to be great.
So that's Saturday the 27th at 1 p.m.
Valley Library.
The Bluey Party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then July is just around the corner. We had 4th of July earlier with the Juno Community Bands. We're also going to talk with the Douglas folks later this week. But you also have stuff going on in July as well.
Right. So in July, we have our annual bike decorating over in Douglas for the Douglas Parade. Anybody can come. It's not just for people who live on Douglas. But the bike decorating party for kids and families at that Douglas Library 4 to 6 on the 2nd.
And people are decorating their bikes specifically for the parade. To drive with the parade or to be in the parade or whatnot. Okay.
Yep. And then after 4th of July, when you're all maxed out and you just need to do something calm and lovely, you can come to my seed art workshop.
Seed art? Tell me about that.
So we had a whole bunch of seeds donated to us that were expired. weird. And so I said, what can you do with that? And I said, you can make art with that, just like they do in the Midwest.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have all the supplies. You just show up whenever you want and watch the directions and then...
When's that going to be?
That is on the 7th at 5:30.
7th at 5:30.
Yeah.
Valley Library. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you have a couple other events happening.
Yep, the Drag Storytime's coming up. That's one of our favorite events at the library. That's at the Valley as well, 2 o'clock on Saturday, July 11th. Always a great time for families. And this year, as part of our summer reading theme of Plant a Seed and Read, we are doing several events for adults in particular that are around that theme. So we have a tour of Peterson Hill Farm. So that will be actually at that farm, which is out by Swampy Acres a little. And that's at 5 o'clock on Monday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
We also have John from Juno Greens doing a talk called Bringing the Garden Inside, all about hydroponics and how amazing it is. And we'll have some yummy things to snack on from Juno Greens at that talk. So that's on the 21st of July in the Valley. And then we have the third Fairy House building workshops that Miss Lacey does. They're very popular. That's at the very end of the month. We have on Saturday it's for families, and on Sunday it's just for adults.
Right. When I read adult fairy house workshop, I was curious as to what that would involve.
Well, she has all the materials, and you make a little house for the fairies to live in.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's at the end of July.
Yeah.
All these things that we're talking about are on juno.org/library. The whole calendar has everything listed. There is a registration for the Peterson Hill Farm Tour.
Right, because we can only have 20 people on that one.
So
it's about half full right now. So if you want to go see all those things, go sign up right now.
Yeah, you can scan the QR code here on the stream, or you can go to the website, juno.org/library, and get that link for that sign up. And that is really a big July. You are busy.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, I think what I would like to, other than just like the details, is just like to remind everybody that libraries are more than just warehouses of books. Libraries are happening places. You can come there, get things that you might need or that you're interested in, but you can also come and study there. We have study rooms, we have conference rooms. We, you know, there's a lot going on. We do all these events and adult workshops, so.
That's cool.
Come join us at the library.
Okay, Elizabeth Peisel Davis, last question for you before we got to go. Anything recommended? Your summer beach read?
Oh, my summer beach read. Oh, my gosh.
Or just your summer read.
Yeah. You know,
stumping the librarian.
You stumped me. I just read a book called Assassination Vacation by Sarah Vowell, who's like one of the This American Life people, and it was very funny. I loved it.
Assassination Vacation?
She goes on this deep dive of visiting all these places where that are related to assassinations of presidents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds fun.
So it's historical, it's funny, it's trivia.
Awesome.
It's travel.
That's cool. What a great thing. Gunathjeesh for being here. I really appreciate it. We'll see you next month.
All right.
I love it. This is Juno Afternoon here on KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. And we end today with the Juno Chamber of Commerce. In the studio with me now, I have Becca Parks and Michaela Moulosson.
Said so well.
I'm terrible at accents, but there you go. But welcome in, Gunathjeesh, for being here. How are you today, Becca?
Gunathjeesh, great. It's another beautiful day in Juno.
I love it. It has been so nice recently.
Yeah.
It's so good. And Michaela Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So it's great to have you all here, and there's things happening.
There are things happening, which is why we wanted to squeeze ourselves in here today. It feels like summer summer is supposed to be downtime, and instead we're sort of cranking out some really great content, and we want to make sure that people know about it. We've got a great couple luncheons coming up.
Yeah.
Starting with this week, so tomorrow is Thursday, right?
Yeah, tomorrow is Thursday.
tomorrow, we have Janelle Anderson from LG Rehfeld. She's coming to talk all about taxes.
Oh.
Might not sound that interesting, but for business owners out there, which includes anybody who is self-employed, she's going to be making sure she's sharing her years and years of audit and tax preparation knowledge so that folks have what they need to have ready going into next year.
Over the last, I don't know, few years, it seems like it's changing every year.
Right.
So you have to keep up.
And I think there's some interesting changes between ballot measure one last year, changes in minimum wage, paid sick leave. And then I just learned this morning about a change in some child care exemptions that people can apply for.
Oh,
I think
nice.
That's what it is. I'll find out more tomorrow.
Go see it tomorrow, the luncheon. And your luncheons are where?
They're at the Moose Lodge this month. The program runs right over the lunch hour, so 12 to 1.
Yep.
Doors open at 11:30. Michaela and Altea from our office will be there to sign folks in and offer tickets to our Red Marble drawing that happens every week, too.
And you get a lunch, and there's a small charge for that, right?
Correct.
For the luncheon itself, just to let people know.
Yeah, and it is open to both members and non-members. There's a discount for members, but we just encourage people to come out and use it as a learning opportunity.
And the calendar, Michaela, is all at your website, right? JunoChamber.com. You can see all the weekly guests.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You can see what's coming up. So you mentioned, and you wanted to mention next week's luncheon too? Do you just have another guest?
I did, because next week we don't have a luncheon. We have we have a special after hours event.
Okay.
So July 1st, we will be at the Alaska First Media, so the new KINY studios out in the Mendenhall Mall. Encourage folks to come out there, check it out. There's going to be a door prize, and we are going to be going live with our cash and travel raffle ticket sales.
Cash and travel raffle?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is a members-only event. We are, since we know it's reunions week and lots of folks are in town for July 4th, we're opening it up to past and present chamber members. And it's going to be the first chance for folks to get these raffle tickets. We are doing, well, you know what? I'm going to let Michaela talk about it. She's our raffle guru.
It seems like this is a hot ticket, Michaela.
Yeah. So in years past, we've done 2,000 tickets for like around $50, and we've raffled off different things. Last year, it was a cash and travel. We're doing cash and travel again, but this year we're doing it a little different. Instead of doing 2,000 tickets, we're only doing 300 tickets for...
What?
Yeah.
Ooh, limited.
Yeah. So, and they're $100 each. Grand prize is $10,000 cash. Second prize is 2 international tickets with Alaska Airlines. So the horizons are broadening. It's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, so we want to give members that first opportunity to grab up these tickets while they can, come out to the event. Board members will be selling live. We'll have some online ticket sales too.
Yeah, I want to get out and see the new studios out there of KNY. It sounds really interesting to be. I saw their van out on the parking lot and with my partner, and she was like, "Oh, there's the van." And I was like, "Yeah, I think their new offices are right there where the broiler used to be." Well, the broiler used to be elsewhere, but you know what I'm saying. before it sadly closed down. For those who've never eaten at the broiler, I'm sorry for you. So that event is going to be – that's Wednesday.
Correct.
Next week, Wednesday, it's after hours. So what time does it start?
It's 4:30 to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. We'll do our door prize drawing. You have to be present to win towards the end of it around 5:45. So we encourage folks to come out. We'll have raffle tickets. We've got some beverages and light snacks. And it's just a fun, very casual networking event.
Okay, that's really cool. And then other things that might be coming down the pike?
Well, I do want to give people a heads up about our other two July luncheons, because I just think the topics are going to be great. We've got leadership from CLIA coming in on July. Oh, I'm going to lose my Thursday days. I want to say it's the 16th.
So it'd be the – yeah, okay. Check the calendar at junochamber.com.
Yeah. So we've got CLIA coming to talk about cruise line – work industry and giving updates from the industry perspective. And then the following week, we have Scott Chamber, the new CDD director from the CBJ, and he'll be there. Oh, and sorry, we've got one other in there. The sunshine has me flustered. We're going to have Blue Scheibler from Southeast Child Care Collective come and give us a little update on the child care work that they're doing, including expansion to the Summer Rally Program and the support they've been able to do with funding from the city. And we're going to have some examples of family-friendly employers there to share their practices and just help other businesses that really want to, that might be struggling with workforce issues, yeah, to have another great recruitment retention tool by offering a family-friendly workplace.
Such great education at these luncheons. So good. And then don't forget the next event, the open event, after-hours event, you call it, on July 1st. Becca, Michaela from the Juno Chamber, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And you can find more at junochamber.com.
Good cheese. Thanks for having
us on. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we preview the latest performances and happenings for the summer with Theater Alaska. We visit with the Juno World Affairs Council guest Gary Powers, and we chat with Juno. We chat Juno Whale Health with marine biologist Heidi Pearson. That's all tomorrow on Juno Afternoon, which runs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. You can find everything about the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Find our live stream archives on YouTube. Theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Good with cheese. Have a fantastic Wednesday evening.